With SDPB News, I'm Jackson Dirks. Funding cuts are occurring at all levels of government, and Pennington County is no exception. One of the primary targets being the Rapid City Library, whose budget is slashed to 1/6 of its current rate. SDPB CJ Keene has more.
South Dakota's second largest local library serves a population area well beyond Rapid City limits, yet it wasn't spared from the most recent round of municipal government cuts. The budget adjustments from just under $500,000 to about $80,000 came from the Pennington County Board of Commissioners and will primarily impact households outside of Rapid City limits. Library Board member Beth Brackus spoke to the commission. While acknowledging the cut does save money for some taxpayers, she says it's not worth the impact to the library.
We have summer reading programs for kids. We have Custer State Park passes that people wouldn't be able to afford that they can check out. The Libby app for all the online books that you could want to read. There's great programs for people of all ages. Those cuts impact all of us. So, and they're going to be, you know, what's proposed will be very real.
This vote came after internal deliberation from the commission, and negotiations continue regarding the library's fate. Some struggled with the implications of the cut, though. Commissioner Ron Roskinek says it's been a reckoning for him.
If I had to do the vote again, I'd probably do something different. I really didn't sleep very good after reading the letters and the comments and then really getting to understand. I've never been on the library board, but I've really been reading and taking to heart the letters that I got. I think that was a relatively big shock.
Emily Tupa is the chair of the board of the Rapid City Library. In a widely circulated social media post, she says these cuts could impact staffing and hours of the library and bookmobile. Further, it could mean the elimination of the library's seed bank, passes to the Journey Museum, the Dial-A-Story service, and subscription to journalistic outlets, among other cuts. I'm SDPB's CJ Keene in Rapid City.
The South Dakota Medical Marijuana Oversight Committee passes a slew of motions at its latest meeting. One looks at an issue some medical cannabis facilities say is hurting their ability to exist. A major discussion point the committee addressed was fining medical cannabis establishments up to $10,000 if they aren't compliant upon inspection. Senator Lauren Nelson is on the committee. She says whether you agree or disagree with medical marijuana, it's here.
And these people are running a business. And when you look at a small business within my district that is trying to just do their thing, trying to run a business successfully, you know, especially being a small business, you know, having fines this large is a huge bite to being able to just to survive.
She says for some businesses, getting a $10,000 fine when operating on smaller margins leaves a huge impact. She adds, if these places close down, that inhibits medical access to people in those communities. The committee determined a large part of the issue is inconsistency. Nelson agreed.
Consistency. As being a teacher at one point, I mean, that's one thing that I made sure I did in my classroom is be consistent and treat everybody fairly so that kids know what to expect. And I'm not seeing that, or at least from the people that I talk with. They don't know what to expect. They don't know what to do. And I just, especially with fines this large, that it needs to be there. It needs to be there because, you know, one wrong step and here you're sitting there with $3,000, $5,000, you know, worth of fines.
Melissa Magstad is the Secretary of the Department of Health. She says they're fining establishments based on statute put in place by the state legislature.
But the only thing that we could do if someone remained out of compliance, and so it's not just first time, but remained out of compliance, was either to suspend a business or to revoke a license, which is not, I mean, there's certain things that should suspend somebody's business because of a whatever type of thing. And so that's why fines were put in place to begin with.
Magstat says a structure for fines is necessary, but she supports working together to improve both the process and state's medicinal marijuana program as a whole. The committee passed a motion to support collaboration with the DOH to ensure that fines are equitable. Authorities say one person is dead and another is hurt after a shooting in southwest Sioux Falls. The suspect in the case is behind bars, according to the Sioux Falls Police Department. Witnesses reported a shooting early Tuesday morning at an apartment complex. One victim died at the scene while another was hospitalized. Police soon located the suspect in a nearby building. He was arrested after a short standoff. Investigators say all people involved knew each other. A police spokesperson says this is Sioux Falls' 11th homicide of 2025 and the third homicide at that particular apartment complex this year. Governor Larry Rodin is appointing Judge Robert Gazinski to the South Dakota Supreme Court. He replaces the Honorable Janine Kern, who retired. Gazinski was born in Latvia. After emigrating with his parents through Israel and Germany, he settled in California and became a U.S. citizen. He enrolled at the University of South Dakota Knudsen School of Law in 1993. He practiced as a trial lawyer in South Dakota. He went on to serve in the U.S. Attorney's Office before being appointed the Seventh Circuit Bench by former Governor Dennis Dugard. Gazinski says he's, quote, deeply humbled, honored, and grateful by the nomination. A total of 3 ballot petitions are approved for signature petitions this election cycle in South Dakota. Secretary of State Monet Johnson says the groups backing these proposals submitted petitions ahead of the November 3rd deadline. All 3 are constitutional amendments. One would require legislative changes to initiative and referendum procedures to be approved by a public vote. Another makes it so any legislative changes to voter-approved initiated measures would require a 3/4 majority in the legislature to pass. The third repeals property tax in South Dakota and replaces it with a retail transaction tax. Backers of each proposal have until May 5th to get just over 35,000 signatures in order for it to appear on the November ballot. South Dakota farmers are receiving some relief from the state government as the Governor's Office of Economic Development is lowering interest rates for rural development loans. The rate reductions took effect October 21st and lower the base interest rate to 3.5%. Some qualified beginning farmers and ranchers may be eligible for a 2.5% rate. The rural development programs provide financing for land, equipment, and livestock. GOED hopes the new rates will increase the number of producers who use the programs. Producers interested in learning more about the programs can visit sdgoed.com. Mascots add character to school teams across South Dakota. In the town of Avon, however, they've taken it up another notch. The Pirates have a literal ship that SDPB's Greg Beasley checked out firsthand.
Go Pirates!
Welcome to Avon, home of the Pirates. Just like the pirates you see on the screens, these pirates raise the flag. They even have uniforms.
You step into the school and you know everybody here wears red and gold. You know they're a pirate and you feel like you belong.
Both these pirates battle for gold.
The Avon Pirates, they are the 9B champions.
Well, there is a couple differences in these pirates. The ones from Avon battle on the gridiron, and for a long time, they were also missing a ship. Enter Dwight Brandt.
Well, it all started the prison down here. A friend of mine, they built it for some parades. They were hiring, basically, employees for the prison. So they ran it in a few parades, I think 2-3 parades, and end of the year came, and we needed a float for our Parade of Lights, so he contacted me. Basically asked if I was interested in it, and I'm like, sure. So that's kind of how we ended up with it.
While the ship made many stops around the eastern side of the state in parades, in a town full of pirates, they just needed a ship.
We actually approached them. You know, Dwight's daughter used it in the homecoming parade, and so we had it all painted up, and I'm not sure who came up with the idea, but we just thought it would be a good fit.
We're like, let's go park it at the football field for the game that night, homecoming night. So that's kind of when we started bringing it out here.
Since the ship has found its home in the South End Zone, it has continued to evolve.
It's a group of buddies that we get together after work and do a lot of socializing and some work. So it's just a good time.
Fortunate to have all these guys in school, and they always had a lot of creativity, so I'm glad they put it to good use as they got older, and I'm really proud of the way that these alumni have supported the school with their time and their efforts, because it takes a lot of time to maintain this ship.
It's just a little few boards fixed here, the floor starts rotting, you know, that kind of thing. Originally it wasn't built for 8 years of outside, you know, it was kind of just a parade float, but it works.
And in a small town, even the smallest symbol can bring everyone together.
Definitely, like, pride. Like, it just shows a lot of pride in the community that we have.
I mean, you got to have a lot of pride to be willing to build a pirate ship and to keep it up for so many years.
Well, I think just a lot of pride and joy and memories are the big thing, you know. A lot of kids look at it and say, hey, I remember winning this or doing that and, you know, taking pictures on it and riding it, all that fun stuff.
Ship means to me like a tradition, kind of. We have a strong tradition of just our pirate mascot.
Oh, it means everything.
It means a lot. We have it on our shirt. Once you're a pirate, you're always a pirate.
So we have a town of 600 people, and a lot of people that graduated from here are back in the area. Their kids are coming back and playing sports. So it's just cool to be able to bring people together. The kids think it's awesome.
This story is part of SDPB's Tale from the Gridiron special, focusing on unique stories about high school football in South Dakota. You can watch a full episode on our website or YouTube page. And SDPB also has you covered for the home stretch of the high school football season. We're broadcasting the All Nations Football Championships on SDPB TV. It also airs live on the SDPB website and YouTube page. The following weekend, we're broadcasting all high school football championship games from Vermilion. I'm SDPB's Jackson Dirks, and that's your daily news update. Make sure to follow us on Facebook and Twitter at SDPB News and visit sdpb.org/news to stay up to date on our journalism as it comes in. And as always, thanks for listening.